It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
We are interrupting our normal broadcasting today because of a special announcement, because of a word of warning, because it's time to sound the alarm. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. So I'm going to postpone. You've got questions. We've got answers. However, if you were planning to call the show today, you were told you could call in today to ask a question about a random subject. In the second half of the program, I will be taking some calls, if merited, on some unrelated questions to the subject matter today. But there's some things going on that were just too important in recent days, and I didn't want to let any more days pass. So I'm going to be asking you some pointed questions and would welcome your feedback, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, if you've listened to me long enough, you know that I'm actually not an alarmist. I live in daily confidence of the kingdom of God, the goodness of God, the work of God. Very few things bother me, stress me, worry me. In fact, sometimes Nancy and I will be talking. Maybe it's late at night, we're having a chat, and I'll say, oh, I'm just so worried. And we burst out laughing because it's not me. So when I sound an alarm, when I say, friends, we need to wake up, I'm doing it with a sense of urgency. I'm doing it because in many cases, we've been sleeping through alarms, either pushing the snooze button, not hearing the alarm, or setting it for the wrong time, or not even setting it at all. So things are happening to the point that we've got to wake up. We've got to be alert. I'll get to the punchline in a moment. But I was reading a book by George Grant and Mark Horn called Unnatural Affections. Came out in 1991. Listen to some of these quotes from almost 20 years ago. Michael Scott Horton, respected evangelical author, radio host, I'm more worried about the evangelical faith in this country than ever. I wonder if evangelical Christianity can survive another era of being tossed back and forth with every wind and doctrine. Do you respect R.C. Sproul? Well, he characterized the church as continuing to slide into the morass of theological relativism and subjectivism. This was 1991, if not before. Do you respect Chuck Colson? He referred to American Christianity roughly 20 years ago as a church in exile. Liberal church historian Martin Marty laments that, quote, the church today may be in more difficulty and travail than at any other time in its long history. Scandals on every side, divisions, schisms, conflicts, avarice, and simple greed have very nearly made the church a laughingstock. Almost 20 years ago, talking about the church in particular in America, this is from a liberal Christian scholar. The Archbishop of Canterbury, newly installed at that time, George Carey, confines, I fear for the future, the church seems to have lost its way. Billy Graham, back then, said, I'm not certain what the future holds for the institutional church, but at the moment it looks grim. Late Presbyterian leader D. James Kennedy said, there's little hope for the world if the church cannot agree on the simplest of things, like what is right and what is wrong. And that's why, back in the 80s, Francis Schaeffer's talking about the great evangelical disaster. What specifically has gotten me so further provoked today? Well, many of you know that for about 5 years on and off, I've been working on a book called The Queer Thing Happened to America. This will be perhaps the most eye-opening book you've ever read. I wrote a good amount of it some years back, then kept revising it, adding to it, writing new chapters, improving what was written, updating what was written. And within 6 months, perhaps, that book will be out. And as I said, it'll probably be the most eye-opening book that you've read, maybe in your life. And if you don't read it, you'll only have yourself to blame because the information in it is of critical importance. This is not to bash homosexual men and women. Again, if you listen to me for any length of time, you know that my heart beats with compassion for those that identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. That the word God laid on my heart back in 2005 was reach out and resist, meaning reach out to the gay and lesbian community with compassion, but resist gay activism with courage. Well, friends, here's a quote from gay journalist Charles Weinkoff. Because gay is no longer taboo in America, the community has shifted its focus from supporting difference to espousing a blanket leftist agenda, in essence, suppressing diversity and driving many of its own into a new conservative closet. Look, I've talked about this for years, that those that came out of the closet 40 years ago now want to put us in the closet. Why? Because they believe they're right and we're wrong. They believe they're fighting for equality and civil rights. They believe that we are a threat to that. And we are simply saying we're doing what's right. But sadly, most people, most American Christians, most American Christian leaders aren't willing to stand up and do what's right in this respect. The question is, why? Why won't we stand? I'm not talking about being mean-spirited and nasty. I'm not talking about name-calling. I'm not talking about hate speech. I'm talking about standing up for what's right. Why won't we do it? Why? Well, don't bother me. Dr. Brown, Mike, what are you talking about today? I just wanted to get edified and lifted up. I just want to hear some inspirational preaching, or maybe you could, you know, just teach us some fascinating facts about the Word. Hey, I'm all for inspirational preaching, and I'm all for fascinating facts about the Word, and I'm all for sounding the alarm when the alarm needs to be sounded. It's like the IRS. You pay me now, you pay me later. Either you're going to believe me now, or you're going to believe me later. Okay, so what's some of the things that have happened most recently? Let me play a clip from Jordan Lawrence, lead attorney with the Alliance Defense Fund, and then I'll explain more on this story.
It now seems to be somewhat of an open season on Christians.
Jordan Lawrence, senior counsel with the Alliance Defense Fund, is disappointed by the federal judge's ruling.
Because it basically has no respect for the right of conscience of Christians or other people who have sincere beliefs about the proper definition of marriage and whether certain sexual behaviors can be immoral.
Julia Ward enrolled in a counseling practicum course in 2009 and was assigned a potential client seeking assistance regarding a homosexual relationship. She asked her supervisor how to handle the matter, knowing she couldn't affirm the client's homosexual relationship without violating her religious beliefs. She was advised to reassign the client to a different counselor, which she did.
But the school said, we have to dismiss you from the program unless you submit to remediation training that will change your thinking.
Lawrence is concerned that the First Amendment rights of Christian students are not being protected.
I just think that many are beginning to feel that they're doing something virtuous by driving Christians into the outskirts of the marketplace of ideas.
ADF is seeking to take this case to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. I'm Bill Bumpus.
All right, and that was from American Family News. Okay, so what actually happened? By the way, I've got a list of things to talk about, this being one of them, this being the most recent one. But if you get easily alarmed, then sit down and take this in and call a friend, text a friend, tweet a friend, tell them to tune into the show. If they can't get us live in their neck of the woods, have them go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the line of fire because you need to hear what I'm talking about. Look, I have one whole chapter in the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, called Big Brother is Watching, and He Really is Gay. Julia Ward is a black American student. I mention that because you would think perhaps there would be a bit more sensitivity when it comes to an injustice or a civil rights issue or a matter of conscience issue with a black American woman. No, not the case here. Julia Ward, mature Christian woman. So she's not 18, 20 years old. She's a mature, a little bit older Christian woman in the counseling program, Eastern Michigan University, is told she needs to counsel a homosexual client. No problem, but she needs to affirm that person's homosexual relationship. She can't do it in good conscience. She asks her professor what to do. Professor says, oh, just refer the client to someone else in the program. No problem, right? Oh, big problem. They sit her down before an inquisition. They mock her Christian beliefs. They challenge her about it. And she gets kicked out of the program. They want her to go for basically psychological retraining or moral religious retraining to change her thing. She gets kicked out of the program. This goes to court, and the court now stands with the university that what they did was fine. Do you know who Emily Brooker is? Do you? How about Jennifer Keaton? We're going to meet these folks on the other side of the break, folks. You need to hear this. It's essential. And I want to ask the question, what is it that is stopping us from doing what is right? We'll talk about that when we come back on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Send the fire today.
Once again, sounding the alarm, bringing a wake-up call. Look, part of our purpose of being on the air with the Line of Fire is to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church in compromise. And friends, we're living in the midst of more compromise than we realize that we've been around it so long we don't even catch on. We have aggressive gay activism pervading society from nursery school through university, through the religious world, through the business world, through the courts. And on the one hand, we proclaim Jesus died for homosexual and heterosexual, shed the same blood, all created in the image of God, all needing God's mercy. I would lay my life down for the salvation of a homosexual man or woman the same way as for a heterosexual. In fact, I've been praying much more for the salvation of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified community than almost for anybody else, except probably for the salvation of my own Jewish people. But we must stand up for what is right if we are to be salt and light, if we care about our kids and our grandkids. You say it sounds alarmist? No. Realist. Do you know that in the schools, this is a recommended scale, a homophobia scale compiled by Dr. Dorothy Riddle, especially to be used in high schools. And it lists four levels of homophobic attitude and four positive levels of attitude. Under homophobic attitudes, are you ready? One, repulsion. Two, pity. Three, tolerance. Four, acceptance. Tolerance and acceptance are now considered homophobic. Did you get that? What are the positive levels that you're to have towards homosexual men and women if you're in school? Kid next to you identifies as gay, lesbian, transgender, cross-dressing. Admiration, appreciation, support, nurturance. Did you hear that? Well, not in my school. Yeah, maybe in your school. Maybe more than you realize. Okay, so here, Maggie Gallagher, leading national organization for marriage, standing up for something very simple, that men marry women and women marry men. Men don't marry men. Women don't marry women. She's on a tour, Summer for Marriage tour. She's giving a speech in Madison, Wisconsin. I just want you to hear the response when she talks about what marriage is.
The reality is, why are we here today? The amazing thing to me, as you look around at these images and these crowds, you look at us, and thank you for those with the courage. Thank you, Bishop Marlino, for your courage. Is that it takes courage now. We live in America in 2010 where it takes courage to stand in the public square for the idea that to make a marriage, you need a husband and wife. So I want, first of all, to thank you for your courage.
Did you hear that? Oh, okay, these are protesters there. She says to make a marriage, you need a man and a woman? Boo, boo. Friends, wake up. This is the rising climate in America today. And plenty of parts of America, if you say, you know, marriage is the union of a man and woman, or, you know, it's really best for a kid to have a mom and dad, you are now considered a hate-filled bigot. And my pastor, leader, friends that don't want controversy, well, you can either compromise and have to look Jesus in the eye and say, I decided to save my life, save my reputation, save my congregational income, save my retirement fund, and not speak up for one of the key issues in society today, and perhaps the most pressing moral issue in society today. Or You can say, I'm going to stand up for what's right with love, with compassion, but I'm not going to back down from the truth, regardless of cost or consequence. And Jesus would say, good, that's what I expect of my disciples. Oh, by the way, like the IRS, pay me now or pay me later. if we're not going to stand up for this, you will watch and see, my friend, how little you'll be able to stand up for in the future. Okay, so who is Jennifer Keaton? We'll let her tell her story.
I really want to serve others. I want to strengthen and prepare young people for the challenges they will face.
Jen Keaton plans to become a school counselor. Right now, she's a graduate student at Augusta State University in Augusta, Georgia. Jen is also a Christian, something she's not ashamed to share with those around her.
I have, on a few occasions, shared my biblical convictions and views in assignments, in class discussions, and with other students.
And for simply voicing her deeply held religious beliefs, including clear biblical teaching on sexual morality, this 24-year-old student is under fire from the faculty at Augusta State.
The school counseling faculty has decided that my views are not acceptable for me or to share with other students. And because of that, they have required a remediation plan in which the end result would be altering my beliefs or being dismissed from the program.
That remediation plan includes attending diversity workshops and sensitivity training, a suggestion to attend the Augusta Gay Pride Parade, and reporting back once a month to show how these activities are affecting her beliefs.
While I want to stay in the school counseling program, I know that I can't honestly complete the remediation plan knowing that I would have to alter my beliefs.
On Jen's behalf, the Alliance Defense Fund is suing Augusta State University so this future counselor can complete her degree, free to have and to share her biblical beliefs.
I'm not willing to, and I know I can't, change my biblical views.
Good for you, Jen Keaton. Unfortunately, we have Christian leaders who are willing to modify their belief. Well, you want to have you have to be understanding. How about understanding that God did create male and female for a purpose? How about understanding that when we undo gender, we undo the foundations of human society? You say, no one's talking about undoing gender. Friends, I have whole books written on the subject with that very title, Undoing Gender. I have posters on how to multiply, how to eradicate gender or multiply it exponentially. Listen to what Dr. Martin Luther King said back in Selma, Alabama, March 8th, 1965. Okay? There was tremendous pressure because as Dr. King was calling for people to stand up against injustice in a nonviolent way, violence was being inflicted on these people. People were being beaten, people were losing their jobs, people would stand together protesting it, doused and sprayed with fire hoses, police dogs being set on people. Of course, there were some even more shocking events, bombings. And people said, it's not worth it. There's too much violence against us. We need another tactic. So Dr. King addressed this. Selma, Alabama, March 8th, 1965. In fact, I have the video. He's speaking in a church building, and loudspeakers going out. People, the building's packed. People standing outside listening. In fact, I'm looking at the clock. I will not have time to read this whole quote to you. We come back. I want to share his views that a man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. I'm going to talk about one or two more cases happening today, and then bring the challenge. Will you stand up for what is right? Why won't we? Why aren't we? What's standing in the way? Back in a moment.
This is the Truth Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, doing my best by God's grace to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity today as we talk about some real serious issues with homosexual activism in America. Again, if you just tuned in, here's my heart. Here's what God laid on my heart years ago. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. And sadly, it's taking more and more courage from people to resist the agenda, because when you stand up for what's right, you are considered to be bigoted, hateful, discriminatory, unchristlike, and obviously standing up for what's right in the spirit of Jesus, not mean-spirited, nasty, self-righteous, but with a broken heart standing up for what's right, we are being faithful ambassadors of Jesus. So, what did Dr. Martin Luther King say back in 1965? I wish I could say it the way he did, but I'll simply read his words. Deep down in our nonviolent creed is the conviction that there is something so dear, something so precious, something so eternally true, that they're worth dying for. And if a man happens to be 36 years old, as I happen to be, some great truth stands before the door of his life, some great opportunity to stand up for that which is right. A man might be afraid his home will get bombed, or he's afraid that he'll lose his job, or he's afraid that he'll get shot or beat down by state troopers, and may go on live until he's 80. He's just as dead at 36 as he was be at 80. The cessation of breathing in his life is merely the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. He died. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for that which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. So he said, we're going to stand up amid horses. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama amid the billy clubs. We're going to stand up right here in Alabama and amid police dogs if they have them. We're going to stand up amid tear gas. We're going to stand up amid anything they can muster up, letting the world know that we are determined to be free. Do you know who it is that has taken these concepts and sought to model the nonviolent principles of Dr. King into a social movement today? Gay and lesbian activists. They've said we're going to stand up and we're going to do what's right, and we'll take the flack and the opposition, because these are our lives. And Christians, when things are being taught in schools that are shocking, when marriage, the very foundations of marriage, being undermined, when denominations, now even Baptist churches, first Myers Park Baptist a few years ago in Charlotte began ordaining into ministry practicing homosexuals. When businesses put pressure on you and you have to go through certain diversity training, when a Church of England bishop is found guilty because and the church is found guilty of discrimination because he refused to hire a practicing homosexual man to be the youth worker, and he had to go through remedial training and there was a substantial fine against the church. Look, this is not tip of the iceberg stuff, friends. In my chapter, Big Brother is Watching, and He Really Is Gay, in my forthcoming book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which once it's out, I would urge every single one of you to get it for leaders you work with, to get it for friends, to get it for educators, to get it for every young person, old person you know. In the chapter, Big Brother is Gay, Big Brother is Watching, where I document some of this, I point out, look, you could easily write a whole book on this, and it'd be fatter than The Queer Thing Happened to America, and that's a substantial book as it is. Okay, so I said you were going to meet Emily Brooker. Who is Emily Brooker? She was a freshman at Missouri State University, and one of her professors directed the students. This is a female professor, said, okay, you have to go into the community, find a public place, and act out some kind of homosexual behavior. This was an assignment as a freshman at Missouri State University. Hold hands with a classmate of the same gender or kiss them or whatever and see how other people react to what you're doing. Write up your experiences and turn them in for your grade. What did she do? Well, she copped out. She knew what the professor was looking for, and she wrote a fictional report as if she did this and got an A for it. So she copped out. She was stunned. I mean, she's a conservative Christian. Stunned. So now, 3 years later, she's in the last semester of her senior year, just a few weeks before graduation. Another of Emily's professors, this is a male professor, commissioned his students to write letters to the Missouri legislature advocating foster care and adoption rights for same-sex couples. So during a lull in the class, Emily respectfully approached the professor, told him she couldn't do what he asked, offering to do another assignment or even everything involved in this one short of actually signing and sending the letter. She said, it's good to learn about different walks of life, but for me to go out into the community and endorse something, I cannot do that if I don't believe it. I'm a Christian, and yes, my Christian beliefs do guide where my life goes. But this is a right and wrong thing. I just cannot support this, and you cannot tell me how to stand on a political issue. She ended up being called before a school tribunal. Her mother couldn't be with her friend, another professor. No one could be with her. She was challenged on her beliefs. Her Christian beliefs were mocked. She was told about changes she was going to have to make if, in fact, she was going to be allowed to graduate. And this happened because the professor in question filed a level 3 grievance against Emily, which was the most serious complaint possible. This is not being made up. This is happening all over the place, be it in places of business, be it in schools. This is happening on a shocking level all over the place. The Alliance Defense Fund said they were going to take a stand for her when the school actually found out in more detail what was happening. The president immediately jumped on this thing. Not only did he call for an investigation of the department, which actually had to be shut down. There were so many issues with that department. But he said that they would pay for Emily's grad school, wherever she went, that they would pay for it. He did the right thing. There are other university presidents who have done the wrong thing. I just don't have time to get into all the instances. Look, what happened a month ago at Hastings Law School, Christian Legal Society, back in 2004, denied a membership or leadership to homosexual, gay, lesbian. You can attend the club meetings, but you can't be a member, and you can't, if you're practicing homosexual, we're not talking about someone struggling with same-sex attraction, if you're practicing homosexual, you cannot have membership or leadership in the Christian Legal Society. Well, the school said, oh, no, that's discriminatory. You have to. Otherwise, you'll lose your status here at the university. Well, this made its way all the way to the Supreme Court last month. And the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling, what happened? Yeah, they ruled in favor of the school and said you have to be non-discriminatory and your club membership and leadership has to be open to anybody. Which means that what needs to happen to expose the absurdity of this is that if they've got a vegan club or a pita club, you need to go in there chomping on a McDonald's Big Mac or some beef jerky in your hand and demand that you be allowed to become a member and a potential leader. And you need to go into an Islamic club wearing a T-shirt, if you dare, Muslims need Jesus, and demand to be made a member and potential leadership role. Or you need to go into a, whatever it is, a Jewish club, the Hillel Club, if they're on campus there, with a Jews for Jesus T-shirt and say, I want to become a member here. And you need to go into every gay and lesbian club they have with a Bible and with a shirt that says God has a better way for the gay and lesbian community and say, I'd like to be a member of your club. What an absurd ruling. Friends, it's coming your way, like it or not. We come back, I'm going to share some Facebook responses to why people are afraid to take a stand. It's fire we want. Thanks so much for being with us today on the Line of Fire. If you're used to this time of the week, you've got questions, we've got answers. I put that off just because of some moral issues, recent decisions, things happening in society that just needed to be addressed. I'll still take some calls, though, 866-34-TRUTH. If you'd like to weigh in on why is it, as we see what's happening around us in society, as we see the extraordinary gains being made in gay activist circles. And by the way, I'm trusting that God is going to move. I'm believing that God will raise up a standard, that God's people will awaken. It's not our job to make people moral or to get everybody to follow our tenets. But I believe if we as God's people come alive, that'll have a radical life-giving effect on the entire society. As we see gay activism making inroads from nursery school to university and everything in between, business place, religious world, media I didn't mention, of course, pervasive in media. I detail all this massively in my forthcoming book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. it burdens me and concerns me when I see so many stepping back. You know, John the Baptist, John the Immerser, you know why he was put in prison? It wasn't because he was preaching Jesus. As the forerunner of Jesus, he was calling people to repent to prepare the way for the coming of the king and the kingdom of God. And he told Herod that he was wrong to be in his relationship. He was in an adulterous relationship with the woman he was married to. God said it was an adulterous relationship. He rebuked him for it. That's what got his head cut off. So I asked this question earlier on Facebook. Join me, by the way, at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook if you're not there already. Why are so many believers today unwilling to take a stand for what's right? Albert says two words, political correctness. When are we going to stop pleasing people and start pleasing the Father's heart? Angela, I've noticed that many Christians don't want to touch this issue, talking about as things were getting pervasive in one part of the country, only one pastor spoke up, but when the city almost got a gambling ship, oh, no, not in my city. Amazing. So it was drag shows where there could be children in a park seeing it at a gay pride event. Well, one pastor speaks up. Gambling, oh. Joseph, fear, lazy, let the others do it kind of thinking. Don't want to be ridiculed, no boldness or courage. Dion, Christians still love their lives too much. Homosexual activism often turns violent and abusive when confronted. Christians just want to avoid that. Nathan, I think that most people don't know how to relate to the homosexuals around. That's a whole other issue. He's got a lengthy post on that, but an important point. Stephen, fear of being arrested, losing tax-exempt status. Jody, personally, I believe it's because so many believers actually hold to a doctrine of compromise themselves. Michael, I believe it's a lack of Holy Spirit guidance, Holy Spirit strength, and Holy Spirit power. Stephen, liberal Christianity is not Christianity, quoting J. Gresham Machen. Jody again, following the heels of Michael's comment, a person can't take a stand against sin or if his or her life is full of sin also. Yeah, look, friends, we've lost our moral authority to speak to the world when we have rampant divorce that under no biblical circumstances could be justified, when we have rampant breakdown of the family in our own midst, when we have rampant sexual sin in our own midst, when we have rampant backsliding in other ways, just being so absorbed with the world. Look, I'm not saying this to condemn. I'm saying to me, to all of us, we need to examine ourselves. How can we wake up others when we ourselves are sleeping? As leaders in the past asked, how can we bind the devil if we ourselves are bound? Simon, it's become far too easy to be a believer in America. Look, if you want some fuel for your fire, let me encourage you to go to AskDrBrown.org. There are hundreds of hours of free messages you can listen to that will stir you, that will provoke you, that will burden you, and equip you. And we have some special resources all this week, some of our most important Wake Up, Revival, Stir You, Equip You, Revolutionary Jesus books are available on the website at a discount. So get them, spread them out to your friends. We need to take a stand. I come back, I'm going to address one other issue, came up earlier in the week about becoming like the world to reach the world. But something happened yesterday. There was a call that came in with a question about Jewish rites of mourning. I just want to make an important correction on that. I must have had brain freeze or completely missed something. I was focusing on another part of the question, trying to rack my brain to see if I had ever heard of this particular tradition. I missed the whole heart of it. So we come back, I'm going to make that quick correction and then talk to you about the philosophy of becoming like the world to win the world. It fits in profoundly with the very things we are talking about today. Stay with us, more to come. Looking at some more of the comments here on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown in terms of why so many believers today are unwilling to take a stand for what is right when it comes to dealing with gay activism. Aaron suggests lukewarm beliefs. Don, maybe they don't care or they don't want to seem like they don't have the love of Christ in them. It's very true. You don't want to seem mean-spirited, bigoted, lacking in compassion. And sometimes when people take these public stands, they have the wrong spirit, and it drives us back. But what you have to do is say, I've got to honor God. I've got to do what's right for the kingdom of God as a prophetic witness, as light as salt, regardless of cost or consequences. And it's for the good of everyone involved. God's ways are always best. If we just remember that, then we can walk with both compassion and courage at the same time. Okay, a quick correction from yesterday's broadcast. I was asked by a caller in the morning rites called Sitting Shiva. Shiva means seven, the 7 days of mourning. In Judaism, after a person dies and is buried, you go to the home, visitors come, friends come, bring food, and they just stay with the family, with the bereaved, with the individual to comfort, to keep them occupied, to help provide food and things like that. So the question was asked, is it true that the reason for the 7 days is you don't want to leave the body alone because there is a view of reincarnation of the soul on the eighth day at circumcision? I didn't even process the thing about leaving the body alone. I was just racking my brain trying to, I never heard of that custom. I've been still researching and haven't found it. But there are always Jewish customs or other customs in other cultures that I haven't heard about. So I didn't want to say definitively no. I said there are a lot of interesting customs having to do with the afterlife in Judaism, but I just ran a wreck my brain without realizing, wait a second. Watch the body. The body's in the grave. So no, of course not. You're there sitting with the person. You're not not leaving the body alone. I don't know what happened to my brain during that. Anyway, I missed that part of the question. Okay. Earlier in the week, I talked about how much do we become like the world to win the world. And there is cultural sensitivity. In other words, if you're in a country that only speaks Chinese and you think by just yelling at them in English, they're going to be saved, France's not going to work. You do your best to learn the language if you can get used to eating the cultural foods and living in terms of not morality, but just culture, certain homes, ways of transportation, fine. But the idea that you have to become like the world and take on like worldly customs and compromise certain things and dress certain ways, otherwise we'll be irrelevant to the world. No, we'll be irrelevant to God. So please hear me. If you want to start a fitness program, do you put up on your screen, or do you yourself, you get really fat and out of shape so the people relate to you, or do you say, hey, I used to be fat and out of shape. Here's a picture of who I used to be. Look at me now. Do you want to reach the alcoholics? Do you go and sit there and get drunk till you're slobbering on the floor in the bar so the people relate to you? Or do you say, hey, I don't go there anymore because I used to drink and I was a slave to that stuff. I'm free. I stay away from that. Come with me and I can show you how to find freedom in Jesus. Look, I was part of the hippie movement and I was changed by the hippie movement in destructive, negative ways until God saved me in 1971 at the age of 16 and a half. But what influenced me was how different the hippies were. I remember going to a Jimi Hendrix concert when I was 13 years old in 1968. I wanted to be like Hendrix and Mitch Mitchell and Noel Redding. They were so different. Different hairstyles, different sounding music, different dress, clothing, different standards. I wanted to break the rules like them. The gay activists, they've come out to be who they were. And society then swings in the wrong direction. Let's be who God made us to be. Yes, with cultural wisdom, but let's stand up for what's right. Let light shine in darkness. Don't compromise the light to try to reach the darkness. Shine it all the more brightly because the people in the dark that want freedom will come running to the light. Let's stand up while we yet have breath. Will you?
Truth Radio Network.